think one of the questions is the relation of the funding problem to the size of the buildings and the schedule with which they came in. Adenolfi was in the construction fund. With whom did he deal, and with whom did Stevens deal in the Bureau of the Budget?
That is one part which was really out of my function then, so I cannot tell exactly.
Right.
All I know is that, of course, you have the budget, the yearly budget for the university established by the Sandberg Rockefeller. Then there's a list of priorities established by the university, which buildings in which campuses should come that particular year.
Yes.
Then the fund comes in with establish a program of requirements together with the campuses, each campus. They agree on what building they need and what size, what requirement, etc. And it's a matter of give and take, because the campus usually ask for much more than they can get. And they not really have to say, look, this is our budget.
Yes.
So, but they came to an agreement. And a very strict budget was established for each building, very strict. And there was no adding or subtracting. That was it. Subtracting, yes, of course, but not adding. And it was a very strict budget. When we did our plans, we had to submit 3 times during the design, 3 times an estimate by a professional estimator saying how much the building is going to cost. When we established the schematic drawings, we had already an estimator giving a rough, a ballpark figure within, I think, 15% more or less. Then when we came to develop design drawings, we had another estimate by the same man, another estimate. At that time it was already more or less 10%, not more. So we were sure we were within the budget. And when the working drawings were finished, when all the documents were ready to go out for bids, before we went out for bids, we had to submit a third reevaluation of the cost. And this time was only more or less 5%. In other words, the bids were supposed to come more or less 5%, that particular figure established by the estimator. It was very well controlled. And we were lucky enough, except for that fine arts building, the first project, all our other buildings came somewhat under the budget. The fine arts came under the budget. The library came under the budget. So we were lucky enough.
The delay of some of these buildings from 1 year to another would add something.
Oh yes, of course. In fact, at one time there was, the cost of construction was going up substantially, even from month to month.
Costs, yes.
And the estimator had to take care of that in his estimate. He say, okay, this is his price. And we estimate that within 6 months the price would be so much more. That was taken care of in the estimate.
I see.
The first building we had a problem with, the student union, we had a very good bid below the budget. A good contractor was the low bidder. And unfortunately, his name was Rostov. The father, who was a very good man, passed away after the bids came in. and the company was taken over by his sons, two sons. One of which was a gambler, tremendous gambler. I don't know if this was the like, but it doesn't matter. I think he used to go on a boat offshore and gamble the entire weekend. And somehow they went bankrupt without finishing the building.
Oh, I see.
And luckily, the fund always suggests a performance bond. So the bank has given guarantee that the building will be completed.
Which building was that?
Student Union.
Student Union. Oh, yeah. I see. Mm-hmm.
So when they went bankrupt, we had to go to the bank, of course. We kept building, we kept continuing building, but of course with delays because we had to, you know, a lot of bureaucracy, papers had to be established until the bank took over. The bank would make payments to the contractor, to the workers.
You had to get another contractor.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. They were bankrupt. So that was a problem. That delayed that bill. Fortunately.
Right.
And those things happen.
Do you want to let me have any questions that I should ask of Frank Matsky or Steve or anyone in the Bureau of the Budget? Axelrod and Villette were the two names that Norman Hurd gave me.
Yes, Axelrod, I remember. We didn't have much to do, in fact, nothing to do with the Bureau of Budget.
Yes.
That came or given to us.
Yes.
We had no input.
Right.
Now regarding Matsky, of course, Matsky was right arm of the North, therefore he was involved personally every day with the construction process.
I see.
Of all the campuses, in fact, not just our campus.
Right.
So he'd be very valuable to you for information concerning construction, process of construction, etc. He became a very good friend of Alinowski, so he was also on his side.
Mm-hmm. Alter ego? I think the the most the building that got the community up in arms most was the hospital.
Yes.
The clinical tower to begin with.
Yes, the hospital. It's another matter. It's part of the campus without being part of the campus, you know.
Across the road,
it's physically, it's really not in the campus. And at that point, we were supposed to coordinate also the work of, what's his name, the architect.
Well, Abe Abramovich?
From Chicago. No, the architect of the hospital, of the health center.
Abramovich, was he the architect for the hospital?
No. Abramovich was not working.
He wasn't.
He did not work there at all.
Okay.
Goldberg.
Goldberg.
Bertrand Goldberg. He's from Chicago. He's a well-known architect in Chicago.
Had he built hospitals? Or
I think he had built somewhere. Nothing on that scale. But he was brought in, I don't know exactly the word commanded him, you know. But that is one we could not really control, because he came in with a complete new thing. And I wrote several reports to Adinolfi about the project, what I saw there, the design coming in, while I criticized the concept, which was not at all according to our conception of Stony Brook campus, and also on human terms, I was very much against that project, very much against it. And I may still have those reports, I doubt them. I think that the North himself was kind of taken aback, and I don't know why, he was not powerful enough to impose his will. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, is this, Rockefeller was still governor then?
Oh, yes, Rockefeller was.
And was it Boyer who was the chancellor then?
Boyer was, I think, one of the chancellors, yes.
Ernest Boyer succeeded Sam Gould.
Yes. What date, you know? Could have been.
Either 69 or 71.
Well, that's about the time where the project started, I think. It could be under Boyer, but I'm not sure.
Right. Well, did you have anything to do with Ed Pellegrino?
Indirectly, yes, we met, we knew each other, because we talked about when we had the meetings on the health sciences center at the beginning. He was there, of course, and I was there as coordinator for the entire campus. So. But it was a limit to the, I did not work with him really.
Yes. Well, I think he was reasonably content with the structure, but unhappy about the outside cement walls. Mm-hmm. I got that impression from talking with him.
Well, I don't think anybody was happy with those, with the exterior of the building, that which Goldberg used a type of stucco. It's a cement stucco. I don't know exactly what he had. He thought he had found something terrific, because it was very bad, because the thing cracked all over the place. We cannot use stucco in this climate, you know, and cement. You know, cement, stucco, whatever it is, cement, exposed cement, we know it cracks, unless you use it in panels, because the joints take care of the expansion. But in large areas, people cannot use cement exterior. Yeah. So that, also aesthetically, I think it's an unfortunate appearance. The appearance of that cement.
But the hospital is different. The hospital is using the glass exterior.
Well, because he realized that it was a mistake that there was. And I didn't have anything to do with hospital. That came over later. Well, Martin Goldberg is a very strong-willed man. Mm-hmm. And he would come to meetings with a stack of computer graphics and things. So impressed, we don't know what was in there. Nobody knew what was in there. Nobody was able to read that. But it was so impressive that nobody dared to tell him that the building was wrong.
Well,
they built those buildings in, if you know, Chicago, they have two towers.
The round towers. Yes.
That's his work.
Yes. I think maybe George Dudley had something to do with selecting him.
Probably. Yes, George was still there at the time, I think. Yeah.
Well, any other comments, recollections? Recollections of the Stony Brook staff. From what you say, the local campus had relatively little input as far as the structure of the buildings were concerned, or am I wrong?
The basic input from the campus was to establish the programs of requirements for each building. Mm-hmm. Whereas the campus would say, I need so many classrooms, so many offices, so many square feet, etc.
Right.
And that was accepted or not, or revised by the song, but the basic requirements came from the camp, from the colleges. As far as just of architects, the campus had nothing to say.
Right.
And as far as even approval of buildings, of designs, the campus had no real input, no practical input. I'm not sure it's the way to do it, but that's the way the system works.
Yeah. Right. All right. Anything else? I'm going to be talking with Steve and with Herb Gordon.
Yeah. Well, Steve knows, of course, the story since even before the font. He was there.
Yes.
So he is the man who knows.
Right. Right. Did you ever have anything to do with Mr. Melville?
No. No, I know he was very unhappy at the beginning.
Yes.
When the campus started expanding and becoming a big thing.
Yes.
He was very unhappy. Not only him, but I know the community was unhappy. They were afraid of the impact of a large mass of students into the community. But I believe that has been the thought.
Basically, the students stay on the campus.
They stay on the campus.
They stay on the campus. And the faculty has become part of the community. Some of them don't mix, others do. Those particularly in the arts have become part of the community, and many of the parents of children have made suggestions about the character of the schools, which I think on the whole have been useful.
Yeah, I think the fine arts building helped great deal to bring the community together. That was a good building.
Yes. They could sell more seats than they do for the major concert program.
Yes. Well, that would be difficult to expand. But,
right. Well, thank you very much indeed, Paul.
You're very welcome. If there is anything else that you may come to your mind that I can help you with, please let me know.
I will. I certainly will.
You still have many people to interview?
Oh, I think that I must interview quite a few of the older members on the faculty. I've just started. Did you see? Ed Feast was in English. Frank Erk in biology. Bentley Glass was academic vice president and a biologist. I have talked at the time that we drafted this letter and then and the questions. I have talked with Sidney Gelber, who was chairman of the Department of Philosophy and later on academic vice president.
Yes.
With Francis Bonner, who was chairman of the chemistry department. With Tom Irvine, who was dean of engineering. And with Cliff Swartz, who was one of the early members in the physics department. But that was together, all four of them together. I want to interview them individually.
There was a man who's not here, but he was the chairman of the art department.
John Newfield.
No, before him, Newfield was the chairman of the drama.
Well, John Newfield was chairman of all three of them at the time that we had a combined department, and then we broke them out, and John took only drama, which was his forte. Music, we had Billy Jim Layton.
Yes.
And art, at that time, something like
Castillo.
Yes, Castillo.
That's the man I was going to see.
Right.
Yes, Castillo. He's in Madrid.
Yes.
He became a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So every time they come by.
I think he was a Brazilian, wasn't he?
No.
Argentinian?
He's a Spaniard.
I see.
A refugee from the Civil War.
Oh, I see.
In a refugee in Chile.
Chile, right.
And
he was a very, very good person.
Oh, yeah, he was very good. He was very good. Now he's back. He's back in Madrid. They still have a house in Chile, in Santiago. They go back and forth, mm-hmm. basically.
I see. Right. John Newfield died very recently. He went out, had a new lawnmower. Went out to try it out, walked about 30 feet, fell over dead. He was out in Kansas. Well, thanks.
There was a lot of discussion at the time when the fine arts building was being designed. A lot of discussion as to the type of theater, the main theater.
Yes. Can you say something about that?
Because there was, I think Newfield was, the man he wanted a traditional proscenium stage. And the younger members of the faculty wanted more modern conception without proscenium. I mean, a more flexible kind of mm-hmm. stage. And what you have there is kind of compromise.
I see.
You have a proscenium, but you have a stage which can be extended by bringing up the orchestra, orchestra pit. You know, it's incredible. So there was quite a bit of discussion about that. But I think everybody seems to be very happy with the fine art building.
I think, I think basically, yes. Right. A definition of a faculty member is a person who thinks otherwise.
Yeah. Well, this way they have to prove that they have an opinion. And they
absolutely. If they agree with you, they've lost their individuality.
That's right. So we don't need them anymore.
Yes, tell me about the tower that you were mentioning, that was in the master plan at one time.
Yes, as part of the master plan. The master plan was based on a series of plazas, one after another. Mm-hmm. Now the main central plaza, which is what you have now, which is formed on the north side by one wing of the fine arts, and on the two other sides by the library and the other wing of the fine art. Now, on the on the fourth side, which is the south side, was supposed to be what we used to call a tower. It was called a tower because our master plan provided for all low buildings, for all buildings. Let's not talk about the health sciences that
right,
came in.
Right.
They're all low buildings. So we thought we needed a focus for the campus, one high building. When you say high, I mean, let's say 15, 20 stories, not more. But the high point, which would become a symbol of the campus, perhaps with a clock or something,
yeah,
which become a design feature of the campus,
right,
a symbol. And that was that tower. And the tower was supposed to be humanities, basically humanities tower. And we had planned on the top two floors a faculty club. I had written a memo on that, I don't have any more, but I wanted to have the top floor for a restaurant where you could see all the campus around, and the floor below for a lounge, bar, lounge, faculty lounge, to make a meeting point of the faculty, which you did not have, you still don't have it.
Yes.
And at the same time, to create a symbol, a physical symbol for your campus.
Right.
And the space is still there. I think request was made several times to Albany for budget for the tower. But I think now, as far as I know, I think it has been abandoned. I haven't heard that lately.